Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 106th Psalm, and in your Schofield Bible, page 651. Psalm 106, we'll begin with verse 7 and read responsively through verse 15, and then we'll turn to one other verse of Scripture after we've read this passage. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. The 15th verse of this passage is the text verse. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. Together on verse 15, please. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Turn now, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. That's page 1239 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll read verse 9, and we'll read it in unison. And let's read it together, please. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And let's pray. Father, it's such a wonderful privilege to be a part of this amazing work, this great church. Thank you for these who faithfully uphold the work of the church, the ministry of the church, and our preacher. And we pray for thy blessing upon the service. Bless, too, we pray, those who are visiting with us, and make it a great and wonderful service for all who are here. And bless with power our preacher and every listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, how to have a lean soul. The psalmist said in Psalm 106, verse 15, and he gave them their request and sent leanness to their soul. He gave them their request and sent leanness to their soul. I could also call this message, what is the grace of God? What is the grace of God? Our Heavenly Father, bless our hearts together as we examine thy word, its application to our lives, please. Amen. A question is asked often, what is grace? The answer, almost always, especially given by preachers, is this. Grace is the unmerited favor of God toward man. I don't think that does too much injustice to the word grace, but that's not all it means. Grace existed before there ever was a man. And we can't say that grace is God's unlimited favor toward man. God's unlimited favor toward man, unmerited, or man's unmerited favor from God, and God's unmerited favor toward man is but a demonstration of God's grace. God's grace always has existed. Now, the word grace, and you'll have to get this if you get the sermon, the word grace could mean something like this, that which gives pleasure to God, or that which comes from God's heart because it pleases him, or what it pleases God to give you. That means when the apostle said in one of the verses read a while ago, his grace is sufficient. And when the Lord said it to the apostle, "My grace is sufficient for thee," what he was saying is this. What it pleases God to give you is all you need. That's what it means. What it pleases God to give you is all you need. Now, that versus what pleases us is what we need. We think that grace is when God pleases us and gives us what we need. But the Bible says that grace is what it pleases God to give us, and that's all we need. His pleasure for us is sufficient for us. It's all we need. Now, we think we know what we need, but we do not know what we need. That's why it was said of the Israelites, and he gave them their request and sent leanness to their soul. They said, "We loathe this light bread. We loathe this manna. Every morning we get the manna from heaven, and we're tired of it. Give us some flesh to eat." And God gave them quail, and they ate it for 1 day, and they ate it for 2 days, and they ate it for 5 days, and they ate it for 10 days, and they ate it for 15 days, and they ate it for 20 days, and they ate it for 25 days, and they ate it for 30 days, and they got sick of the quail, and God said, and he gave them their request, and gave leanness to their soul. Now, it all boils down to this. What it pleases him for us to have versus what it pleases us for us to have. Now, both of those cannot give sufficiency. Or, as the Bible teaches, the word sufficiency is also translated contentment. His grace is enough to give us contentment. What he pleases to give us will give us contentment. Now, the Israelites did not always have what it pleased them to have, but they always had what it pleased God for them to have. And when we have what it pleases God for us to have, then we have contentment. Contentment doesn't come because you get what you want. Contentment comes because you get what God wants you to have and what pleases God to give you. For example, the Israelites were in bondage. Now, it pleased God. It pleased God that they were there. Why? They sinned, God put them in bondage, and it pleased God. Then sunshine came. They were delivered because of the Passover lamb, the drying of the Red Sea. Marvelous victory. And that also pleased God. But then the clouds came, and they had to live in tents. But that also pleased God, and it was God's grace that gave them the cloud as much as God's grace that gave the sunshine. And then they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that pleased God. That's the sunshine. But then enemies came, and that pleased God. And that's the clouds. And then deliverance came, and that's the sunshine. And that pleased God. Then hunger came, and there are the clouds again. And that pleased God. Then manna came from heaven to satisfy the hunger. And that's the sunshine again. And that pleased God. Then thirst came. And that's the clouds again. And that pleased God. And the water came from the rock in Horeb. And there's the sunshine again. And that pleased God. Ladies and gentlemen, the grace of God is not always giving you what you need and what pleases you. But the grace of God is when God gives you what pleases him. Paul was converted on the Damascus Road. That's the sunshine. The grace of God brought the sunshine. But Paul immediately was cast into persecution, and that's the cloud, but that's also the grace of God. But Paul began preaching, and great multitudes came to hear him, and there's the sunlight again, and that's the grace of God. But Paul began to get persecuted, and that there come the clouds again, and that's the grace of God. And then Paul was hailed as a god. He and Barnabas were hailed as gods, and there's the sunshine again, and that's the grace of God. But Paul was stoned and left outside the city of Lystra for dead. And there are the clouds again. And that's the grace of God.
Ladies and gentlemen, God knows what you need, and God knows what I need. And God's grace is manifested in this cloud as much as it is in the sunlight. And God's grace is as much in the pain as it is the good health. And God's grace is just as much in the unemployment as it is the employment. And God's grace is just as much in the famine as it is in the plenty. And God's grace is just as much in the want as it is in the having. And God's grace is just as much in the peace or in the war as it is in the peace of our soul. And God's grace is just as much in the valley as it is on the mountaintop. And God's grace is just as much in the fog as it is on a clear day. God says, I know what you need. And I give you some clouds, I give you some sunshine. And both are the results of my grace. You know, we say so often, boy, God sure has been good to me. We've been well all year. I've got news for you. God's been good to you if you've been sick all year. Because you would not know God's provision for the valley if you did not spend time in the valley. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you, listen, had Paul not been stoned outside the city of Lystra, he would never have seen the third heaven. Had Stephen not been stoned outside the city of Jerusalem, he would not have seen the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Had John not seen the clouds of Patmos, he would never have given us the Revelation story. Had Jacob not seen the clouds and the storm of the lonely night on his way to Haran, we would never have had Jacob's ladder. Had not Isaiah been persecuted, we would have never had the marvels of the deliverance of God in Isaiah. Had Daniel not been in the lion's den, we would never have known the mighty deliverance. Had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not been cast in the fire furnace, we'd never have known about the Son of God being in there with them. Now, I want to serve notice tonight on you that our God is just as gracious when you're in the valley as he is when you're on the mountaintop. Our God is just as gracious when the platter is empty as much as he is when your plate is full. Our God is just as gracious to you when you're having a tough time making it as when everything is going well. And our God is just as gracious to you. Listen, that's where you see him. That's where you get to know. That's why the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul said, I want to get to know him on the mountaintop, but I want to get to know him in the valley. I want to get to know him when the tomb is empty, and I want to get to know him when the tomb is full. I want to get to know him in the power of his resurrection on the top side, when up from the grave he is risen. I want to know that Savior, the Hallelujah Savior, the Praise God Savior, the Victory Savior, the Living Savior. Paul said, I also want to get to know him in the valley of suffering, in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him at the empty tomb, but I want to know him at Calvary. I want to know him as he ascended to heaven, but I want to know him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to know him when he was there in the upper room, but I also want to know him when he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. I want to know him on Palm Sunday, but I also want to know him on, pardon the expression, Good Friday. I want to know him, not only. Listen, you don't know anybody if you just had fun with him. You don't know anybody if all you've done is picnic and play ball. You don't know them. You don't know them until you've seen them in every area of life. And when you've seen them when there was nothing and when there was much, when there was sickness and when there was health, when there were valleys, when there were mountaintops, when there were clouds and clear days, that's when you know somebody. And Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, his victory. I also want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. This church, 20 years ago, next week, we had just built this half of this auditorium. June 5, 1964. 3 months to the day after this auditorium, this had been built. Fire came, destroyed a building right here, and destroyed a building over here. And we saw half of our buildings go up in smoke. We saw this beautiful new building for which we had labored and sacrificed. I stood up here, about right here, and saw the firemen as they took big hand axes and chopped holes in that wall back there so smoke could get out, the fire would not come in. I saw this new building, 3 months old. I saw it, that much, 2 or 3 inches of water across this new carpet. and I saw the new pews almost destroyed. And I sat here, and I stood up here, tear running down my cheek. But I want to say this tonight. As I look back over my life, I want to say thank God, not only for the resurrection days, but thank God for the suffering days. And the fire was as much a part of the grace of God as dedication day was. Now, that means that there are two dangers. One danger is that we might say, all I want is the victory time. I want the sunshine. I don't want the clouds. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you will never know Christ completely. Oh, you'll be saved, but you'll never know Him completely. You'll never know Him till you walk in the valley of the shadow of death with Him. You'll never know Him if you go in the Garden of Gethsemane with Him. Neath the stars of the night, walk the Savior of light in the garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son as He knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, with the Savior alone on His knees. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son. You'll not know Him unless you've been to Gethsemane with Him. You'll not know Him unless you've been to Calvary with Him. You'll not know Him unless you've been to Pilate's Hall with Him. And I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you shrink tonight because of shadows. Don't you shrink because of battles. You take whatever God gives you, and you say, that's given by the grace of Almighty God. And you grab Romans 8:28, and you squeeze it good and hard, and you believe it with all your soul, and we know. That little word know is a word that was used for secret orders. We know something nobody else knows. That little secret order of those of us who are God's children. We know that all things, that's good and the bad, high and the low, defeats and victories, He said, all things work together, fit the pattern for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Now, on the other side, there's this problem. And that is some, because the clouds bring us His presence, some don't want the sunshine. Some just want the clouds. Now, what God is saying is this. God is saying, let me give you what I want you to have. Let me give it to you. Let me decide. Let me know. I know what's best for you. And He said, whatever I give you, it's my pleasure for you. And if it's my pleasure for you, it's my grace that gives it to you. And He says, let me give you what I want. If God wants me to have manna, I'll enjoy the manna. If God wants me to have the quail for a while, I'll enjoy the quail. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a beefsteak. God gives it to you. Please look at me. Don't take notes while I'm preaching. Look at me. I'm preaching to you. I'm trying to change you, not to instruct you. This is not seminary class. This is preaching time. Now listen to me. God says, I know what you need. And it pleases me for you to have it. And if it pleases me for you to have it, my grace gives it to you. You sit for the house. We came to college here. We've had nothing but trouble ever since we got here. Well, praise the Lord. His grace gave it to you. But you say, preacher, I've been employed for weeks. Well, praise the Lord. His grace gave it to you. Hey, listen to me. If you love Him, I say love Him, and live for Him and serve Him, and His will is your portion. Take what He gives you. Paul said, I know how to abound, I know how to be abased. Now, a lot of folks know how to abound, but not be abased. Then a lot of folks know how to be abased and not abound. Paul said, if God gives me a New York sirloin steak, inch and a half thick, medium with mushroom sauce, and then mushrooms poured over it, and a baked potato with chives and cheese, and sour cream, and a little butter mixed in, if God chooses to give me a banana pudding for dessert or a banana split for dessert, Paul said, I know how to enjoy that. He said, I'm not going to feel guilty. God wanted me to have it. He said, don't you feel guilty when you have a big old meal? Oh, I feel great. God wants me to have it. Ah, but let me tell you something, folks. And I can enjoy it. I know how to enjoy it. If you don't believe it, put it there. I know how to enjoy it.
But I thank God tonight. And I can enjoy a bowl of pinto beans with onion and cornbread. This is preaching, ain't it? God's in this place, folks. I thank God tonight. I mean that. I can enjoy that. Or I thank God I can enjoy whatever God puts on my plate. Yes, God put it on my plate and cut it up. And I'll eat it. And I can enjoy it. Paul says, I've learned how to be full and empty. I've learned how to have and to have not. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, it's what God wants me to have. And if God looks at you know, one of the best things about folks, about having something good, is getting to look at the people's face that gave it to you. I love to look at the little kid that says, I got something for you, Brother Hiles. What is it? I got a Reese peanut butter cup. I heard you liked them. I love them. Love them. And so I like to sometimes just take it and open it right then. And a little child looks at me and watches me eat the Reese peanut butter cup. And Mama, I gave him that. I gave him that. I gave him that. You know what I enjoy about that the most? Eating the Reese peanut butter cup. God won't bless a dishonest preacher. But you know what I also enjoy about it? I enjoy it because she wanted me to have it. And I enjoy when God gives me something that's good. If God gives me a nice new suit, I never buy myself one. But if God gives me a nice new suit, I enjoy putting it on. I like it. I enjoy a big T-bone steak. If God wants to give it to me, I like it. But you know one reason I like it? Because it pleased God for me to have it. But then if God wants me to go without a little bit, I like that too. Because it pleases God. And I like to please God. I want God to be happy. I want God to be contented. And so, if it pleases God for me to have sunshine, I say thank you for your grace. Pleases God for me to have rainstorm, I say thank you for your grace. If it pleases God for me to be well, I say thank you for your grace. Pleases God for me to be sick, I say thank you for your grace. Pleases God for me to have a house, I say thank you for your grace. Pleases God for me to have a tent, I say thank you for your grace. Pleases God for me to have a smooth pathway, I say thank you for your grace. Pleases God for me to have rough going, I say thank you for your grace. That's why the apostle said, in everything give thanks. That's what he's saying. Oh, by the way, he was in jail. He was in that little excuse for a jail called the Mamertine prison, nothing more than a dungeon with two depths of a cellar, down a deep, dark dungeon with nothing, maybe but some kind of artificial light, a candle to the light, and the seepage and the dampness, and he was a long ways from home, and the guillotine sword was being sharpened, and you could hear the footprints of the soldiers coming to take him to the guillotine. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And in that same book, ladies and gentlemen, the same place, he wrote several books, and in one of those books where he was there, he said, I've learned to be content. He said, I'm in jail by the grace of God, and I like it. He said, I've had plenty by the grace of God, and I like it. I've been persecuted by the grace of God, and I like it. Why? It pleases God. And what pleases God is grace. And he said, I take it, and I've learned to take it, and I've learned to accept it. Delight yourself in what pleases you, and when circumstances change, your delights will vanish. Delight yourself in that which men have over which men have control, and when men change, your delight will vanish. But you delight yourself in pleasing Him, and the darkest day cannot shut out the light from your life. Rejoice in Him. Don't rejoice in circumstances. You know one of the good things about this? And that is when you're on the top side, and the clear day is there, you know the cloudy day is going to come. And that tempers you shouting about the clear day. And then when the cloudy day comes, you know the clear day is also going to come. And that gives you strength in the cloudy day. But brother, you'll find the grace of God as much or more in the cloudy day as you will the clear day. You'll find the grace of God as much on the operating table as you will when you're praying for somebody else on the operating table. My grace is sufficient for thee. What's he say? He says, what I want is what you need. And what I want will suffice. Rejoice in penury and rejoice in plenty.
rejoice on the hilltop of Transfiguration and rejoice in the garden of the Valley of Gethsemane. Rejoice at the mountain peak of Sinai when the law is dropped and the Word of God is dropped from the glory world. But rejoice when Sinai, the thunders of Sinai come and the earth trembles and quakes. Rejoice in the mountain peak of victory when Jesus was fellowshipping with Moses, Elijah, and Peter, James, and John were there. And Peter said, let's build 3 tabernacles and stay here. But also rejoice when you're crucified upside down on a distant field. Because that's also the grace of God. As I look back over my life of 57 and a half plus years, thank God tonight as much for the clouds as I do for the sunshine. I thank God tonight for the grace of God. No, I didn't say grace in the storm. I said the grace of the storm. I'm having it bad, but His grace is sufficient. The having it bad is His grace. It's as much a gift of God as having it good. Poverty is as much a gift of God. And tonight, I want to thank God not only that when I was a boy, we were poor. And I've seen my mother out knocking on doors begging for money to buy her boy something to eat to keep him from starving. Not only do I thank God for His presence in that storm, in that poverty, but I thank God for His grace of giving that poverty. It's a part of what He wanted for me. For He knew what I had to do. He knew that someday I'd pastor in this great Chicago area. And He knew that in this great Chicago area there's a great mass of humanity, brokenhearted, and poor little boys and girls that needed bus rides and people whose lives are entangled. And God said, it pleases me to give a little old Jackie boy a tough time. Let him be reared in poverty in a drunkard's home. Let his daddy go off and leave him and his mother. Let his mother walk 2 miles a day and work for 50 cents a day. And let him have to get up and throw a paper out at 3:30 in the morning. Let him have it tough. That pleases me. Why? Because I got some folks in Chicago going to go through that out yonder in 1984. And I got to get me a fellow ready to pastor up there. Thank God for His grace in that. Not grace through that, but grace in that. The grace of that. If my discomfort is His pleasure, then I'm happy in my discomfort. God says, you got 2 different ways to live. You can live according to what pleases you. He says if you do that, it'll send leanness to your soul. Because you don't know what you need. But He says if you'll do that or have that which pleases God, it'll send fatness to your soul. Because God knows what you need. I don't feel sorry tonight for those little girls out yonder who wait on tables at the college. I don't feel sorry for those girls who come here and work on scholarship and spend their time polishing and cleaning these pews and keeping this building. And I don't feel sorry for those girls. Because God is pleased to give them that. I feel sorry for the person to whom God gives what He wants. I'm going to make somebody mad right now. I won't try to anyway. I don't want to really, but I'm going to make somebody mad. You know what kind of prayer request on the broadcast I don't like? And somebody in this room is going to get mad about it. I don't know who you are. But I don't like prayer requests that tell God what you need. Pray that a husband will spend more time with his family. Every morning that's on there. I don't like it. Because somebody selfishly asking for something. Now, I'll get a note about that. Under my door tonight, I'll find out who that was. I'll tell you what I like.
I like a prayer request that says, pray that a mother will have strength to rear children alone. Pray that a wayward son will come back to God. You know why? I am as convinced as I am that I'm standing here that that little woman I call mother was ordained by God to suffer like she suffered. And I think that it was the grace of God that brought that little baby, Lorraine, and placed it in mother's lap. I think it was just as much the grace of God that took her at the age of 7 from mother's lap. I think it was the grace of God that gave mother little Hazel for 7 years. I think it was the grace of God that took Hazel away. You know why Hazel and Lorraine died? They died for me. They died for you. Many of you would never have been saved if Hazel and Lorraine had lived. May not be a Howells Anderson College tonight if Hazel and Lorraine had lived. Because God was planning a little mother to rear a preacher boy. And God had to temper that little mother with the grace of life and the grace of death. He had to temper that little mother with the joys of maternity and the grace of maternity and the grace of the funeral home. I went to see her Friday, and she said, where do you work? I guess she's finding out I don't work. She's 96, and senility has just about conquered her. I said, Mother, I work at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. She said, what do you do there? And I said, Mother, I preach there. Oh, she said, do you do it full time? Well, if anybody preaches full time, it's me. I preach my full time every time I get up here. To the chagrin of backsliders. And my sister came in and said, Mother. And Mother said, who's this? And her own daughter said, Mother, you know who this is. And she said, I know that voice, but who is this? You say, Brother Howells, that's sad. No, that's not sad. That's what God wants for Mother right now. You say, why? I don't have to know why. I just know that's what He wants for her. Well, I can't say that I feel good when Mother doesn't know who I am. I can't say I feel good when Mother says to me, where do you work? And what do you do for a living? She said the other day, she said, where do you work? And I said, Mother, I preach at First Baptist Church. She said, you call that work? I can't say I like that, but I praise God for it. And I rejoice in every gay thing, give thanks. I thank God tonight. Mother's that way. You say, Brother House, how can you say that? Because the Bible says in everything give thanks. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. You say, why? If my mother had to sit in a room rest of her life and not get to see her son, I'm preaching now, enough laughter, and not get to see her son often, maybe God has taken reality from her. Because reality may break her heart. I'm saying I thank God tonight for it. I thank God tonight for the day my dad stepped across my kneeling body and left our home. I thank God for it. You say, why? It's what God wanted for me. It was the grace of God. I want to say this tonight. I'm going to wind up in a few minutes, but I want to say this tonight. If God gives you what you want, you'll grow to loathe it. He gave them their, we want meat! We want the flesh! And God said, let them have it. For 30 days they had it. And they grew to loathe it. You better thank God He doesn't give you what you want. You better thank God for His grace. I'm talking to folks tonight been chafing because of what you think is bad. But the grace of God gave it to you. I'm talking to folks tonight in the shadows. My heart's been awfully heavy this week. One of our little ladies, our church, one of the finest ladies we have, had breast cancer and had to have a double mastectomy. One of the dearest ladies in this church. I guess I've thought about her 100 times in the last 3 days and asked God to bless her. But I want to say to her husband tonight, I want the message to get to her. It was God's grace that did it. You say, how can you say that? I say it because the Bible says it. Well, I don't understand it. Aren't you glad you've got a God you can understand? Little boy in this church, one of the dearest buddies I've got in this church, has Hodgkin's disease. He's had it now for a couple of years or so. Younger teenager. One of the finest young men we have. You say, what could you say to the parents of that boy? I'd say, thank God for the Hodgkin's disease. You say, what? Thank God for... Yes, in everything give thanks. Praise the Lord always. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice evermore. You say, why? I don't know why. But do it because God likes it and God wants it. You say, does God want me to suffer? Sometimes He does because God knows what you've got to do. Dr. Lee Robertson was in a revival. Word came to him, their little baby Joy had suddenly been taken and suddenly died. He left the revival and drove home. I serve notice, ladies and gentlemen, our God was just as good to Lee Robertson that night as He was the night little Joy was born. If Dr. Lee Robertson looks back on his life and sees the death of little Joy, he can look forward now, out now, and he can see that Camp Joy, where thousands and tens of thousands of children have come to Christ because of the death of little Joy. Dr. J. Harold Smith was in a revival campaign. Oh, no, it was home one night and dreamed. He dreamed that his boy was burned to death. Next morning, his wife called him at the office and said, come quickly, Harold. Our boy is burning to death. And J. Harold Smith went home and saw his dream of the night before completely and perfectly carried out by God. Now, as he looks back on his life, he can say, God was good. That was the grace of God that allowed that. You say tragedy? I don't think it's a tragedy for a boy to go to heaven. Boy, I use it so often in my preaching. Well, Dr. John Rice and I traveled so long together. And one day a guy pulled a gun out and stuck it at John Rice's head and said, I'm going to kill you! And old Dr. Rice said, buddy, you can't scare me with heaven. Is it bad for a child to go to heaven? Is it bad for a little child to be taken and never have to be tempted for dope? Is it bad for him to never have to worry about being immoral, never have to face a war, never have to worry about dying on a battlefield? Is it bad? No, God knows no bad. You think it's bad. God knows it's good because it's by His grace that God gives you both the sunlight and also the shadows. Dr. George W. Truett was out hunting with his dearest friend. Years ago, he's pastor of the First Baptist Church at Dallas. Dr. George W. Truett was crawling through a barbed wire fence out in the field and accidentally touched the trigger of his gun. It went off and shot to death his dearest friend. You say, what a tragedy. No, that was a springboard that made George W. Truett the man that he was. Charles Haddon Spurgeon pastored the great church in London, England. One day, a fire came and 7 of his members were killed. What a tragedy! No, it was a tragedy! Listen, no tragedies with God if you love Him and you're in His will. And that became the springboard for Charles Haddon Spurgeon. When my daddy died a drunkard's death and I placed this hand on his cold cheek and kissed his cold forehead in death and realized unless something had happened between the time he fell off the sawhorse while he was hanging drywall on the ceiling of a house and hit the floor in death, unless something happened, he cried for mercy to God and for God to save him. His soul was in hell. I look back tonight and I say, thank God for His grace. Yes, His grace in the sorrow. Yes, but the grace of giving the sorrow. Because it's been the springboard of my little ministry. And that's why the Apostle Paul could say, Lord, remove the thorn. Remove it. And the Lord said, nope, won't do it. But Lord, you healed others. You know, in Acts chapter 19, Lord, you list in the Word of God the special miracles you wrought by me. Lord, now you healed others through me. Now heal me. Lord said, no, Paul. Third time, Paul said, Lord, please heal me. The Lord said, no, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What's he saying? He's saying, what pleases me is what you need. And he'll give you contentment. May I close with this? Anybody that's heard me preach knows that I have a problem with my esophagus. It's the most embarrassing thing I face in my life, and I never preach a sermon without praying just before I walk up. Lord, help me tonight, please, not to embarrass myself and make the folks uncomfortable. Strange saying. About 6 months ago, a man came to me and said, Dr. Piles, would you anoint me with oil and pray for me to get well? I said, what's your trouble? He said, Brother Howells, I have a throat problem. He said, it's down in here somewhere, and he says, it caused me to clear my throat while I preach. I got my olive oil in my office and put it on his brow and prayed for God to heal him. Within 2 weeks, he wrote me a letter and said, Brother Howells, I've been healed. The doctor can't believe what's going on. I've been healed. And I thought how many times I've taken that same little bottle of olive oil and put some on my finger and placed it right here on my throat and said, God, take care of that for me and heal it for me. But I thank God tonight for it. I throw myself at His mercy before I preach more than I would if I didn't have it. I need Him more than I needed Him if I didn't have it. I just want to thank God tonight for His grace. I'm not talking about what you usually talk about. I'm not talking about grace in the shadow. I'm talking about the grace of having the shadow because it pleases God. I just want to thank Him tonight for the poverty of a childhood. And I want to thank Him tonight for the building burning here, buildings burning here. I want to thank Him for the tornado that destroyed an educational building down in Texas. I want to thank Him for all the battles. I want to thank Him for all the shadows. I want to thank Him for all the tears. I want to thank Him. Why? Because that's what pleased Him. And if it pleases Him, bless God. That's why I was made, to please Him. That's why God made us in the first place, for the praise of His glory, to please Him. And so I just want to stand tonight and say thank God for those times when it seems like that heaven's wide open and you can see all the way to everywhere. But thank God also when you reach up and hold your hand up and you can't see your hand for the clouds. I want to thank God tonight for health that pleases Him and illness that pleases Him. I want to thank God tonight for my daddy's grave because it pleased Him for me to have to go through that. Don't chafe. Don't chafe. He gave them their request and sent leanness to their soul. I mentioned this in a sermon a year or two ago. A young fellow came to me. He said, Brother Howells, I'm having a tough time in college. Can't find a job. I can't find a job. Came back a few weeks later and he told me, he said, I found a job for the house. He said, thank God, God is still on His throne. And I said, young man, God was on His throne when you were looking for a job. I said, God's on His throne when you find a job. God on His throne, you look for a job. God was on His throne when the Apostle Paul was smitten on Damascus Road and saw a vision from heaven and said, Who art thou, Lord? And gave his life to Christ. God was on His throne, but God was also on His throne. And Paul followed the steps of the soldiers toward the river at the end of the tunnel from the Mamertine prison. And when they lifted the guillotine and put Paul's body in the prone position and put that sword over his neck, God was still on His throne. God was on His throne when John the Baptist reached up and lifted his hand toward heaven and then took the lovely form of our Lord and put it in Jordan's flow. God was on His throne. But when John the Baptist's head was chopped off because he stood and told the truth to the wicked king, God was still on his throne. God was on his throne when Savonarola stood and preached. He was also on his throne when Savonarola was burned at the stake. God was on his throne when Latimer and Ridley proclaimed the message and spread like a fire the gospel of Christ. He was also on his throne when they were martyred. God's on his throne when things are going well, and God's on his throne when things are going bad. And God's on his throne at midnight as well as noontime, and in the clouds as well as the sunshine, and the shadows as well as a clear day. God is on his throne. I have a sermon I preached about 5 times. The other night I was preaching, Brother Dave, my son. And I was preaching for him the other night, and it was also the closing meeting of the ACE convention that he had in his church. David Gibbs was there, and I tried to preach something to encourage the preachers. And the folks, are you listening to me? I tried to preach something to encourage the preachers having troubles, and I preached that sermon, God is still on his throne. That's the one where I take the microphone and say, God's on his throne, bad, and God's on his throne, and good. And I was trying to put some Gretna in the crawl and some blood in the veins of those preachers to stand and say, thank God for the victories, but thank God for the shadows. I didn't know who all was there. I just flew in, preached, and flew out. My sister's daughter, Margaret Sue, has a daughter, Cindy. And Cindy's married. That makes me her great-uncle. One day not long ago, Cindy's husband went out to drive a couple miles down the road to get something. And his car swerved. They know what happened. But he was killed in an accident about 2 miles from home. And that night, my sister's daughter came to hear her great-uncle preach. I didn't know she was there. But I kept saying, God is still on his throne! God is still on his throne! God is always on his throne! I didn't know but what I was shooting at those preachers with. My own flesh and blood was out there brokenhearted. And I got a little note from her a few days later. Dear Uncle Jack, you don't know it, but I heard you preach. My niece, said, Dear Uncle Jack, you don't know it, but I heard you preach tonight. You came to Garland and preached for your son. She said, my daughter Cindy was also there. She said she's been bitter lately, getting so bitter because left with a child or so, husband taken in her youth. She's been getting bitter against God. But said she tiptoed in that night and heard you preach and said it's just what she needed. God is still on his throne. Tonight, you have one choice of two. Either God gives you what you want, and with that comes leanness of soul. Or God gives you what he wants. And with that is his grace. No wonder Mrs. Idson, stood to sing this morning. No wonder when she started singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet this sound that saved the wretch like me. No wonder she was overcome. No wonder she had to stop, and no wonder her voice quivered all the way through the song, especially in the first stanza. I'll tell you why. Because it is Amazing Grace that gives us what God wants us to have. And in getting what pleases God, we have our sufficiency and our contentment. Why was Paul contented in the jail? Because it pleased God for him to be there. Why was Paul contented in hunger? Because it pleased God for him to be abased. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. My grace is sufficient. our Heavenly Father. Help us to learn to rejoice in other things tonight besides what we normally rejoice in. Forgive us because we've complained. Forgive us because we've been bitter. Forgive us because we equate goodness with our own opinion of goodness. Forgive us because we haven't trusted you. We love you tonight. We're in your will tonight. And that means whatever comes is the grace of God. Forgive us because we've complained. Forgive us for our discouragement. Forgive us for our bitterness. Forgive us for our discontentment, our dissatisfaction. Forgive us for it. We just want to say tonight, praise you for plenty and praise you for little. Praise you for health and praise you for sickness. Praise you for strength and praise you for weakness. Praise you for mountaintops and praise you for valleys. Praise you for sunshine and praise you for the clouds. Praise you for the clear days and praise you